This is Nachyomi, Sefer Yehoshua, the 8th chapter. Yehoshua is now commanded by Hashem to initiate an attack against Ta'ai. On the previous occasion, he undertook this effort on his own. This time, Hashem reassures him not to be afraid, despite the initial setback, the initial loss, the suffering of defeat when the Jewish people attacked Ta'ai the first time around. This time, they'll have nothing to worry about. They will indeed succeed, and the city will fall into their hands. Yehoshua, though, on this occasion, utilizes strategy to accomplish his goals. This is a key change. He doesn't simply rush in with a small or even a large amount of soldiers to attack the city, but instead, he calculates and formulates a plan. His plan is to ambush the city. He places 30,000 men in one ambushing party, and another 5,000. Both of these are to the west of the city. While he himself, Yehoshua, approaches the city directly, the valley right in front of the city, where he will deliberately make himself noticed by the king and the men of the people of Ha'ai, so as to entice them to exit this city, hopefully leaving it thereby exposed, so that the soldiers in the ambushing party can enter the city, penetrate the walls that are left unguarded and defenseless, and capture it. And indeed, this is what happens. Yehoshua, with his men, enters the valley. Once in the valley, the king of Ai notices that the Jewish people are approaching, again, mobilizes his troops, and they chase after Yehoshua and his men, leaving the city open, the gates open, and the entire territory without any defense. Now, Yehoshua instructs his men to feign as if they are being defeated. They run in escape from before the people of Ha'ai, demonstrating that they are losing, pretending to be losing. So this further emboldens the soldiers of Ha'ai, who run after them with even greater gusto. All of the men empty out of the city, leaving the entire city without any protection. And at this moment, Hashem instructs Yehoshua to lift up a spear. He lifts the spear up to the sky, and that's the signal to the ambushing parties to enter Ha'ai, which they do, and they capture the city and set it aflame. When the smoke begins to rise, the people of Ha'ai, who are busy chasing Yehoshua and his men, turn and look and notice smoke billowing out of their own homes, smoke billowing out of their own city, and for a moment they are completely caught off guard, and they find themselves trapped between the ambushing party that's approaching them from one side and Yehoshua's men, who have now gone from being pursued to being pursuers. Trapped in the middle, they have nowhere to go. Yehoshua is able to eliminate all of the inhabitants of Ha'ai, to take the city, to destroy it. This time, of course, they're allowed to keep all of the spoils of war, because they won the war with their own strategy, with their own ingenuity, and with their own manpower. They formulated a plan, they executed the plan, they put themselves at risk, and can truly see themselves as having been victorious, obviously with the help of Hashem, but victorious and having earned the spoils of this war. The king of Ha'ai is kept alive, he is hung by Yehoshua, but buried under a pile of rocks at the gate of Ha'ai by sunset, in fulfillment of, obviously, the Torah's command not to leave a body hanging overnight. The entire city is left as a mound of rubble. And then it tells us that Yehoshua and the Jewish people proceed to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. If you remember, back in the book of Devarim, Hashem commands Moshe to command the people that when they arrive, on the day that they cross the Yarden and arrive in the land of Israel, they should gather on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal and have a special ceremony whereby two key things will take place. First of all, stones, large stones, will have the entire Torah, a copy of the entire Torah written upon them. And secondly, blessings and curses will be conferred upon the people. Six of the tribes will stand on one side, six of the tribes will stand on the other side, on the other mountain, and the Levi'im will stand in the middle, and they will face Mount Gerizim and pronounce the blessings, and they will face Mount Ebal and pronounce the curses. There's a long discussion in the Mefarshim of exactly what the formation was, who was supposed to stand where the people, who was actually pronouncing the curses and who was listening to them. The traditional interpretation is that the Shivatim, who were supposed to stand on the mountain of blessing, the Mount Gerizim, And those who were standing on Mount Ebal didn't say anything, but that the Levi'im and Kohanim, who stood in the middle, would face each mountain, pronouncing the blessings towards Mount Gerizim and the curses towards Mount Ebal. That's the traditional interpretation. However, see the commentaries over in the Book of Dvarim for other interpretations and how they utilize the text here in Sefer Yoshua to substantiate their approaches. But the approach of Rashi, which I'm mentioning here, is the one that's endorsed by the rabbis of the Talmud and is the traditional understanding. Now, one of the key questions here that many of the Mefarshim raise, and it's an obvious question to anybody who's keeping score, is the Torah tells us that we're supposed to perform this ritual and this ceremony on the day that we enter the land of Israel. This is not the day that the Jews entered the land of Israel. The Jews entered the land of Israel on the 10th of Nisan. Then they had Pesach. Then they had the whole battle against Jericho. Then they had the first battle against Ai. And now they're having the second battle. So what happened? This is not the day that they entered the land of Israel. So why did they wait so long? Now, Rashi says, invoking the traditional interpretive a concept that the Tanakh is not always written in chronological order, says that this in fact occurred on the day that they entered the land of Israel, but the Navi waited to write it in the book until now. He waited now until the end of the 8th chapter to tell us about how the ceremony was performed in fulfillment of the directives laid out in the Book of Devarim. Many of the Mefarshim take a different approach and say that no, it actually wasn't done until this point in time, until it is described in the Sefer Yoshua, meaning after the battles of Jericho and Ha'ai, only then did they go to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim and perform the ceremony. But even according to Rashi, we're still left with a question, because even if we are to accept this interpretation that the ceremony was performed on the day that they crossed the Yarden, but that it was delayed, the writing of it was delayed. In other words, it's not recorded in the text until much later than it actually happened. We still have to ask the question, well, why wasn't it recorded at the time that it happened then? Why don't we find it written right after they crossed the Yarden? So I think that whether we take Rashi's interpretation or not, we have the same concept to bear in mind here, which is that yes, the Jews crossed over the land, over the Yarden, and entered the land several weeks before this, before the point that we are in the Navi right now. However, the reality is that they weren't really considered to possess the land, to have come into their own, if you will, until the Battle of Ha'ai. Why? Because the Battle of Jericho was something done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, done by Hashem. They weren't entitled to take any of the spoils of that war or any of the territory gained in that war. It was completely dedicated to God. This is the first time that they've won a war with their own strategy, with their own hands, and they can really lay claim to a piece of the land. And so therefore, one could say that this is the first time they've really become inhabitants of the land. This is the first time that they can really say that they have entered the land in full force. So it's possible to say that they actually delayed the ceremony until the first successful conquest, and that really the ceremony at Har Ebal and Har Gerizim was not performed until after the Battle of Ha'ai was successful. That's one possibility. Even according to Rashi, who says that the ceremony was in fact performed as soon as they crossed the Yarden, even he may agree with this concept, that the reason why the Navi waited to record the ceremony until after recording the details of the Battle of Ha'ai was because the ceremony didn't really have full meaning, didn't really have its full import until the Jews had succeeded in conquering Ha'ai and laying claim to a part of the land. So according to Rashi, the reason it's written out of order may very well be because the Jews were not considered to have truly come into their own until the Battle of Ha'ai. So the only difference would be that according to Rashi, it literally was done earlier but is recorded for conceptual purposes later to emphasize that yes, they performed the ceremony when they first physically entered the land, but conceptually they're really entering the land now, so the Navi recorded it later to make that point. Or could be that even literally, they didn't perform the ceremony until they had conquered a parcel of land that truly became their possession.